It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're doing a summary, closing out the book of Genesis. We've studied it now for many, many weeks, months, and we are about to finish it up, but we are going through kind of a general summary of what we have learned in the book of Genesis. And so today we're going to begin reading with Genesis chapter 14, verses 17 through the end of the chapter, or close to the end of the chapter there. So please, that you would open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 14 as we do this summary, the close of the book of Genesis. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Again, I'm glad that you've joined us, and we'll begin reading now in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 14, verse 17. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even a shoe latch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. Now, we're going to end there, and we're going to begin with prayer. Now, Father, I thank you for the wonderful study you have given us in this book, your first book, the Book of Beginnings. And that's a wonderful statement, dear Father, and we know it to be true. And if we do not know, study, have an understanding of the book of Genesis, it will limit our understanding to your precious word. It is the beginning, and we need to study the beginning. We have had a wonderful time as we have studied this. Please, now that you will guide and lead us through this time of kind of just a general overview of what we have learned, please help us to not miss anything that is of importance to us today. And you know that without reading just every word again, we will be doing just that. Dear Lord, please just touch our hearts with this word, with your word. Touch our hearts with the living word that will change our lives. Bring people to you today, dear Lord, through this study. Bring them to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And also, dear Lord, bring those that have been saved closer to you and have a wonderful walk with you. That is a walk that will draw each one of us that are saved closer to you each and every day. Please, dear Lord, guide and lead us. Make us good servants to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look through the scripture here, it's very difficult and almost impossible for me to just touch on a few of these things as we go through this study, but I'm going to attempt to do just that. And you know, this we closed last time with this man named Melchizedek, and he is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He appears to have no beginning or no ending. He just comes right into the picture. He is a priest of the Most High God. He is a king. And we know our Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our high priest, and he is our Savior. What a wonderful picture that this man named Melchizedek, king of Salem, gives us here. And I wanted to read on to show you the faith of Abraham. Because look what Abraham is doing here. Abraham is not only just going after Lot. If you remember the story, Lot moved down into Sodom, which he should have never been down there. And Abraham went after him. And when he returned, when he came back, why, he also not only brought back Lot, but also Sodom and Gomorrah and several other cities there that he saved and brought back. Well, when he did, the king of Sodom, according to verse 21, said to Abram, you know, just give me my people back. You keep all the wealth. You keep all the spoils for yourself. Because, you know, we appreciate you saving us. Otherwise, there would have been no one to save us. Well, Abram didn't go to save Sodom. Abram went to save Lot. And he brought all of them back at the same time. But I love this verse of scripture that tells us here in verse 22, and Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latch, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldst say, I have made Abram rich. He wants all the honor and glory to go unto the Lord. If Abram is to be rich, God's going to make him rich. Oh, what a wonderful picture for you and for me that we look closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and depend upon him and not upon our own being and our own selves and our own strength. Now, we go on to the 15th chapter, and we have a wonderful promise here, and this happens many times. Right after we have walked by faith, kind of stepped out and walked directly as the Lord would want us to, but it was kind of blindly. We don't know for sure what we're doing. We just do it, and we know it's the Lord's will. Many times immediately following that, then, we get kind of a special blessing. And look at this 15th chapter. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, look at that wonderful picture, that beautiful picture there. And again, as we have kind of closed out just a little bit, then we had the dividing of the animals, if you'll remember, for this sacrifice. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Verse 8. And this is the promise that is given unto Abraham concerning the inheritance of the land, and that he is going to have a descendants equal to the stars in the sky or the sand of the sea. And yet, to this time, you see, he still has no children. And so he is inquiring, and God puts this together. He plans this means of showing Abraham his power and his strength and made this covenant with him. And we have it with the heifer and the goat and the ram and the turtle dove and the young pigeon. And he divided each one and put them on each side. And the birds he divided not. He put one on each side. And as we come together he put Abraham into a deep sleep, you see all the work that is done. When God makes a promise to us, it's not some of the promises are conditional. In order to get the blessings of God, we need to serve him. And today that's been a big problem with man because man refused to follow the word of God and the truth. And so they miss the blessings of God. Maybe they possess salvation because salvation comes by God's commitment to us. He has committed his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. He has shed his blood for us that we can live, will live. But we just have to turn to him. That's all we need to do. And then God saves us and God keeps us. Now, man has a big problem with that. A lot of people have a big problem with this, what they call eternal security. But there's no problem with it at all. Because it's God's doing, and it's God's keeping, and it's God's saving. And so we need to turn to him. And once we have turned to him, confessed our sin to him, and turned to him, it comes from the Holy Spirit convicting our heart. And turning to him, then he keeps us. What a wonderful promise the Word of God gives us. And if you miss that, and if you don't see that in the Word of God, then you're missing everything in the Word of God. If you're trying to work yourself to heaven or trying to work to keep yourself going to heaven, you're missing it all. It's God's commitment. It's God's promise to you. And it's the same thing here. What God was doing here with Abraham was God's doing. Abraham had nothing to do with it. He put him to sleep. to do it. And so it is a wonderful, beautiful event that took place here in the scripture in the 15th chapter. And so all these things, just please go back, take a look at them, and enjoy them, please, that you would enjoy them. As we go on now, we find in the 16th chapter, we have the birth of Ishmael. Now, this is one of those cases where Abram, he kind of took things into his own hands. Should not have done that. It was a combination between him and his wife. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaiden, and her name was Hagar. And so it was custom of the day. You see, we get caught up in the customs of the day. And I'm afraid that's what's happened to many churches and places of worship today. They have brought in the customs of the day to attract people, so that folks will come, and they think that that's great, and they get them to say the words of maybe coming, you know, to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not a heart change. And the church may be full, but it's nothing more than a social club. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you preach anything other than that gospel, and if you stand upon any other doctrines other than doctrines of the Word of God, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're just a religious a fool. And please, you need to look to the Word of God. And do not veer from it. Do not change from it. Abraham looked to the custom of the day. Sarah got taken up in it too. And so they followed after the custom of the day. Got them in nothing but trouble. And that's exactly what's going to get you, if you stop following the Word of God and follow the custom of the day. But now we have Abraham and we have Sarah, and they have decided that the thing to do, since we have no children, Hagar will go into Abraham. I've always felt like Sarah thought that it was Abram's fault that they didn't have any children. Abram thought it was Sarah's fault, and she was just going to prove to Abraham that it was his problem. Well, it turned out it backfired, what it did. And that's what happens any time that we decide to take things in our own hands and do things what we think is proper. And most of the time it's because it's tradition of the day, or it's a custom of the day. This was too. This was very ordinary. Nobody gave this a thought, that Abram went into Hagar and had a son named Ishmael. But I'll tell you what, it was nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. She was an Egyptian. He should not have went into her, should not have had anything to do with it. But what happened here is it began a race of people that are descendants of Abraham. But they have been fighting with Israel, with the Jews, ever since. And it's the Arabs. Because they say, no, our father is Abraham, and that's true. But it was through Hagar. And also the scripture tells us that he will, it comes down here in the 11th verse, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art the child, and she bare a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard after the affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And that's quite a description today. And people don't want to face up to what the Word of God tells us. But we know with what's going on this very day how true that is. How true this is. And it was all because Abram took things in his own hands. And if you want to destroy a church, you start taking your plans and your thoughts and you doing those without God's hand and without God's leadership and without God's word, you just go your own direction, and you're going to produce nothing but wild man. That's all you're going to have. And it's going to, your next generation, the next generation, the next generation is just going to be more perverted and more wild. And you're going to wonder, you know, what happened? Well, what happened was the day that you decided to leave the Word of God. Now, Abram decided to leave the Word of God. He left God and went into Hagar and was nothing but trouble and destruction, and it caused trouble always. God wanted him to wait. Now, it tells us at the end of this 16th chapter that Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. 86, that would be 86 years old, is how old Abraham was. You and I would have probably got concerned about that promise too. I'm not saying Abraham was a bad man. I'm saying Abraham looked at what was natural, looked at what he thought was right, and he did that instead of following after the Lord. Now, there was a period of time here, and this is very important, and I hate to slow up and take this much time, but this is such an important time in the Word of God, in Abram's life here, because we find that right here, in between the 16th chapter and the 17th chapter, we have 13 years that God is not speaking, not recording anything concerning his relationship with Abraham. What happens when we take things into our own hands? There is a time period there. There's a wasted time. In 13 years that took place, and then the beginning of 17th chapter, when Abraham was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell upon his face and talked with God. And so we find that the covenant, the promise, has come again. I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. The sixth verse of that says, I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Remember, I have said repeatedly that there is only one people that lives today, that has ever lived, that God literally gave land to. He took his property. God owns it all. He owns the universe. He owns everything. We are just tenants upon it. We are just enjoying the fruit of our labor because of what God has given us. It's not because we are so mighty and so strong and we have purchased this land and possessed this land. Oh, you think you hold the title to it. But God's the only one that can give you that title. And he has given the title of the land of Canaan unto the nation of Israel. So no matter who lives there today, who tries to possess it, and the mosque that is built where the temple used to be, they take possession of that land. But Israel is the only one that truly owns that land, and they deserve it. They deserve it because God gave it to them, and it's a promise right here in the Word of God. And so, for an everlasting possession, how long were they to have that possession? Now, the reason they're not in the land is because they were disobedient. But that land is still theirs, and there'll be a day when they'll take possession of it. And they should have it today if they would have followed after him. I said before, there are some covenants that are conditional and some covenants that are God-spoken, God-made, and man have nothing to do with them. And here's one concerning the possession of the land was their willingness to serve and to follow after him. They still possess the land. They're still the owners of it. God said to Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Now, he had no seed, if you'll remember right. And here's where the covenant, an establishment of this covenant came in with circumcision. And that was to be done the eighth day. And so it was to separate the land, the nation of Israel, literally, from the rest of the world. And so It was a token, the scripture calls it here. You know, a lot of people put this and try to maneuver and bring in baptism into this, and that's got nothing to do with it. This is the nation of Israel. This has got nothing to do with me. And to whether we are circumcised or not has nothing to do with the covenant. We do it for health reasons, not for any other reason. But here it was done, and they were circumcised, every one, including Abraham, and he was 99 years old. And that was to bring that promise in. Then God brought what a bond was made here. Must needs be circumcised. My covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, and hath broken my covenant. Now that's the 14th verse of this 17th chapter. And as we continue to move now, we find the promise of Isaac. Now, an everlasting covenant. I'm going to make you a great nation. Literally, other than Ishmael, and God's not counting Ishmael, we got a problem here, because Abram has no children, and yet he's supposed to be the father of kings, the father of great nations, the father of multitudes. How can this be when he has no children? And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her, yea, and I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and of Sarah that is 90 years old? Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And you see in this promise here, we have just had Abram's name. I apologize again, trying to move quickly through everything, but when we change Sarai's name back in the fifth verse, we find that we change Abraham's name. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And then it goes on in the verse I read, the sixth verse, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of thee. Kings shall come out of thee. What a promise was coming. And yet, and then he pleads, you know, Ishmael, Ishmael. And God says, no. In the 19th verse, God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. God named him. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now he makes a promise here of Ishmael. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall be gathered. And you know, the nation, the Arab nation, is a great nation, a strong nation, a big nation, and the religion is strong. And that's come from Ishmael. And God did that because of Abraham. Still a mistake. And so Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that was born in his house, and all that was brought with his money, every male, the man of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of the foreskin that selfsame day, as God had said unto him. Abraham followed God's word. Abraham was 90 years old and 9 when he was circumcised in the flesh of the foreskin. And then Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old. Remember back at the beginning of the chapter, there were 13 years from the time Ishmael was born until God even spoke to Abraham. And he comes back because it is God's promise to Abraham that this is going to take place. And it's got, even though Abraham was disobedient, God's promise. We need to follow the word of God, even though it doesn't seem right for the day. We need to follow God's word and follow that promise. We need to do it very carefully. Now, we find as we look at the next chapter here, chapter 18, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and three men stood before him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. What a wonderful opportunity here as we get to the 18th chapter. This 18th chapter, we see very carefully here that the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, is at the tent door of Abraham. You know, we find many times that the Lord Jesus is present upon earth, not born of the Virgin Mary, come in the flesh as we know the Lord Jesus, that he lived here 33 years, but he came before. Jesus, the Son of God, was given the responsibility of creating the world. We know the gospel was presented, first of all, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And now we find that he has entered into the picture here, and it's concerning Lot. Lot is back in Sodom and Gomorrah again. And there's a problem here, and he comes, and it's a beautiful picture. I'm not going to take a lot of time here with this 18th chapter, and I'm so sorry I'm going so slow, I guess, but there's just too many things here to avoid and not take some time. But we have here that Abraham enters in. He has Lot come in. He has the three visitors come into his tent, and Abraham has Sarai go out, and immediately they kill the fatted calf, they prepare the meal, and they sit and they enjoy that. And then he receives once again the promise that what is to come. And what a beautiful promise that is, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And so what a promise once again is given. And as this promise is given, we find that it says, I will return unto the time of life. And I believe with Sarah, she not only physically was capable of having a child, I think she looked very young, even though she was 90 years old, because we find later on through the scripture that Abraham lies and says, this is my sister, to save his own neck. And so I think even though she was 90 years old, she was a very beautiful woman. And we have this going on with Lot concerning if there's 50, and it comes all the way down to if there's 10 in the end of this chapter. And God says, yes, if there's 10, I will save the city. Well, he didn't. And the two angels, the three of them, two angels, and one was the pre-incarnate Christ, came to Abraham's tent door. Well, the two angels proceed now on down into Sodom. They have a responsibility, and that is to take those that are saved out before the destruction. And you see, that's a beautiful picture of what's going to happen during the tribulation. See, I believe that the church will be raptured out of the situation, out of the terrible time of tribulation and final destruction at the end of the tribulation period, the Battle of Armageddon, that the church will be raptured ahead. Lot is taken out before the destruction starts. And I believe that's exactly what's going to happen to the church. If you're a born-again believer, the next step in this time, the next thing to come, is the tribulation period. But before that will happen, the church is going to be taken out. And here we find the Lord Jesus coming part of the way. He comes to Abraham's tent. He doesn't go down into Sodom, but they are brought out of there. They are brought out of the land, those that are saved, and they then see and watch the destruction, but they're not a part of it. They're not in with that, and I think that's a beautiful picture of what's going to happen to the church very, very soon. And so we're going to be raptured out before the final days come. And we know that it was Lot and his wife and his two virgin daughters is all that came out. There was not 10 present. And so now, as we watch this destruction, we watch these things take place, Again, we are out of time. We have moved up to the 20th chapter, and we'll begin there the next time, and I am going to try to finish it next time, but I'm not going to move. We've got the birth of Isaac. We've got some great things to look at. My dear friend, it's a wonderful opportunity we have to study God's Word. Don't miss it. What are you going to do about Jesus?